Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts on the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
I'm Allison Klein, and I'm here with Steve Fisher. He's the lead architect for the Penryn processor at Intel. Steve, what does a lead architect do?
We're responsible for the overall definition of the product. You know, so taking the requirements from the product planning folks and the marketing teams and shaping a set of capabilities to make for the most competitive product, you know, on the time frame that we're slated. So, you know, we're given certain requirements in terms of the process technology, die size, frequency, power targets, and we need to come up with the most competitive type of solution that fits within that framework.
I've heard Penryn, I've heard Nehalem, I've heard Gesher. Where do you guys come up with these crazy code names?
We wanted a name that was more geographically related to the project development site. In the case of Penryn, you know, this was architected and designed primarily in Folsom, California. And, you know, if we had a contest where we selected some different names from areas around the region, and Penryn was a small town north of Folsom by about 20 miles.
Is Penryn a single product or is it multiple products?
It's a family of products. Penryn basically refers to the family name for the 45 nanometer version of the core microarchitecture. So what we basically have done is taken the 65 nanometer previous generation of the core microarchitecture and have moved it over to the next generation process technology, the 45 nanometer next generation process technology, and that we've enhanced the microarchitecture as part of that process. So yeah, we will provide products in both the mobile, the desktop, server, workstation space.
Is there a new manufacturing process that uses Penryn, and can you talk a little bit more about that?
Penryn is basically the lead vehicle of our next generation 45 nanometer process technology. This process technology utilizes a new metal gate based structure in order to implement the transistor. This is basically a revolutionary change in terms of the composition of the transistor. You know, from previous generations, we've also gone to a new higher K dielectric for the gate construction, which also allows us to make these transistors viable with the smaller geometry that the 45 nanometer provides. So, you know, with this new process technology, we can make the transistors smaller and more power efficient from the leakage standpoint, as well as faster.
So the high-K metal gate, what does that replace in the microprocessor, and why is it that it offers an advantage?
There are probably two, you know, major innovations there around this high-K metal gate. You know, the first is the traditional polysilicon material that's used to construct a transistor gate today has been replaced by a metal gate. So the material is fundamentally different here. You know, so this material provides for improved performance at these finer dimensions that we can achieve with this 45 nanometer process technology. Now, in addition to that, the gate dielectric material has also changed. It's changed to a new hafnium-based material, and this material we refer to as a high-K-based material. This allows us to provide a little more controllability of the gate properties when it's on versus off. And as we scale these transistors smaller and smaller, you know, we have this issue of significant leakage increases in terms of the gate not necessarily turning completely off when it's off. And the high-K material allows us to more solidly turn the transistor off. As a result, this new process technology has some, you know, significant improvements in leakage characteristics. And this is what allows us to further improve the density of our design or the number of transistors in a given area, and at the same time maintaining a relatively low leakage.
So I would assume that would translate to energy efficiency advantages for our customers?
Yeah. From the customer standpoint, they're going to see basically more capabilities within the same power envelope, or they can see lower power through the more energy efficient transistor design that we get. So that may translate to, say, a longer battery life, less fan noise in the system, you know, things that the customers can always appreciate.
You've talked about performance and energy efficiency improvements. Are there any instruction set architecture improvements for Penryn? And can you tell us a little bit about what the instruction set architecture represents?
Yeah, on Penryn, we've actually introduced 47 new instructions. These instructions are intended to enhance the area of video, in this case video encoding, the area of gaming and imaging or image processing. So applications like Photoshop and Aperture that are used for image manipulation and tools that do video authoring would also see some substantial gains. You know, we're talking on the 40% plus just due to the instructions alone.
That's impressive. And do you see that ISVs are working with Intel to take advantage of those?
Yes, we've started an engagement with ISVs. That is moving along quite well. We've actually had some demos from some of those efforts. DivX with their video encoder, also Microsoft with their Windows Media Encoder. You know, we've shown demos of both those workloads with these new instructions. And we'll continue to work with other ISVs, you know, in order to enable them to take advantage of these new instructions.
Penryn has been talked a lot about in the media. When are we expecting these products actually to start emerging in platforms?
Well, we're going to be shipping Penryn in production in the second half of this year. So, you know, late this year,